So it was a hot summer afternoon in Memphis. I know that that's hard to imagine. We were driving down Sam Cooper in Chris's 1979 Toyota Corolla hatchback. Wagon. It was an old car. When the car began to make some unusual noises. We merged onto I-240 South, headed to the $2 movie theater to see Mr. Holland's Opus, and the car coasted to a stop. We gathered the little bit of change that was available in the car, and we got out. The closest exit was to go back to Summer, so we started walking to Summer Avenue. And there was a Kmart, if you remember, fairly close to the exit. As we walked, we began discussing who we would call from the payphone outside the Kmart. Who would be home that afternoon to answer our phone call? And who would not only be willing, but not put out by having to drive out and pick us up? We made one call. He answered, and he quickly came out and got us. One day, while Jesus was praying, one of the disciples came up to him as he was finishing, and he said, will you teach us how to pray? And Jesus turned to all of the disciples, and he told them a parable. He said, it's the middle of the night, and a friend arrives tired and hungry after a day full of travel. What would you do? What would you do? You'd offer him some food, right? And a place to spend the night. Which in that day meant that you would offer them bread. New Testament professor Sharon Ring points out that for all economic classes of the time, bread was the heart of their diet. For a person of modest means, there would be little else but maybe a few fruits and vegetables. So the arrival of a guest required bread. There were no stores to go and buy bread. There was no 24-hour 7-Eleven. There were no preservatives to keep bread from one day to the next. So it was made every day. Every afternoon, several hours were spent grinding to prepare the flour for the next day's bread, and every morning, dough was prepared and taken to bake along with all the rest of the village's bread. So when the friend comes and knocks at the door, and it's late at night, and all the bread in that house has already been eaten, the friend knows who still has bread, who made good a lot of bread this morning. And he goes to the house of his friend, and he shamelessly knocks on the door, waking the whole house, the kids, the animals, everybody, to get bread for the one who has arrived and is hungry. Jesus doesn't explain this parable except to say, everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. God is like a good father who only gives good things to his children. So God will absolutely, without fail, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Now, traditionally, this parable has been fairly troubling for the church. Because the host, who goes to his friend's house to get bread, has to knock how? Shamelessly, persistently. And it's led to questions of whether prayers that seem to go unanswered aren't persistent enough. Was that the problem? Was it that we just didn't knock hard enough on God's door? We just didn't aggravate God enough to wake him up? But those questions emerge from two assumptions. The first is that Jesus meant persistent rather than shameless asking, which is actually a better translation. It's the difference in knocking timidly and asking unapologetically. to borrow some bread, approaching with confidence. Hey, my friend is here and he needs some bread. He's hungry, right? Please come share some bread with us. The second assumption is that the person who is being asked to provide the bread, the one who answers, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked up. The kids are here in bed with me. We're all comfy and cozy. Now go on," is God. What if that person is one of us? What if God is the host who is knocking on the door? Hear the parable again that way. In the middle of the night, a tired, hungry man comes to God in need. God receives him in and welcomes him. God doesn't have bread right there to feed him, but he knows you do. So God comes to you. God knows that you have more than enough daily bread. And in the middle of the night, while you are sound asleep, God wakes you up. Try as you might, you cannot go back to sleep. I don't know about you, but I've had it happen to me. In the middle of the night, those opportunities that knock around in your thoughts and won't be quieted, are those God? And God won't stop knocking persistently, shamelessly. Jesus says, the man responds, "Do not bother me. The door is shut now, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot get up and give you anything." How often has that been our response? "Don't bother me, God. That door is already shut. I've locked everything I have up tight. Don't even ask. Plus, don't you see that if I get up and answer, it's going to disturb my whole household? Everything that I have worked to get all organized, my family is content, my kids are comfortable, I want to keep them that way. If I jostle them, it's going to be forever before we have peace and quiet around here again. I have everything just the way I like it, God. Don't bother me with the needs of some stranger. I know he's your friend, but go ask somebody else. Isn't there somebody else in town who has bread, God?" But God doesn't give up. God keeps knocking and telling you about this man who is tired and hungry until you finally get up and share what you have. One of our members here at Farmington is in need of a kidney transplant. Her name is Judith Cassidy. She usually sits right there with Iris. She's in end-stage renal failure and on dialysis. And she told me about needing a kidney several months ago and asked me to share the need with the congregation. I have a brochure on my desk about what to do. I've prayed about it. God, who do I tell? How do we recruit a kidney donor? Put it in the newsletter? The readership seems so small. And then a few weeks ago, I was talking with Reverend Susie Wiggins from Germantown Press, and she suggested that we put it out nationally to the denomination. It had never occurred to me. The person who donates a kidney might not be giving it directly to Judith. They could give it in her name, and then she would be placed on a list for a living donor that matched her. And as I prepared this sermon, I realized that we have knocked on God's door, and now it is time to make the path clear for the person who has been hearing God's knock in the middle of the night. Perhaps it's just time to let the person know who has been hearing the knock in the middle of the night that they could be a living donor for someone, that they could be an organ donor, know what her name is. There are people for whom the knock in the middle of the night is to be a living organ donor. And I hope you will join me in praying for that person to answer God's knock and Judith's need, and to be a part of sharing the need as information is passed on to you in the newsletter this month about how to go about donating. Well, when Chris and I stood at the payphone at Kmart and we made that phone call, we didn't have somebody else to call. We didn't have any more change to drop into the phone. We made one call. We knew that he would come. We knew that he would not fix the car, but that he would be there for us and get us out of the rain that, you know, on those hot summer days in Memphis, comes every afternoon. In the same way, God answers the door for us when we knock. Not to fix our problems always, but to be there for us, to be with us, and to get us out of the rain. Jesus says, like a father who gives what is good and not what is harmful to his children, God gives us the Holy Spirit. And then the rest of the parable says that God then comes to my door and your door and knocks. The knock may be a concern about an elderly neighbor, a call to serve our community, an opportunity to share what you have with other people. In the same way you are being nudged to metaphorically leave the comfort of your bed with your children nestled snugly and respond to the need of those who wander at night. Here's the deal. God is not leaving your door. God is shamelessly going to continue to knock. Because God has already promised those who have come to his door that he's going to answer. Ask, says God, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So the question for you and for me is, will you answer the door? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.